Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Monday, Cleveland.
Oh, wow. What a weekend of baseball that we got subjected to. The continuance of just absolute beauty. And more names floating around from a 2016 championship team that could be coming back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, well, the Browns just a couple weeks away from training camp. It's Jake Vollmick with you guys here from 7 to 11 on Overtime. We got Jax Gregory running the board as well. You're around the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us today. And it was, I mean, shaping up to be a fantastic weekend, and you'll figure out very quickly as to why. But obviously, wasn't with you guys Friday, 4th of July. Enjoyed a nice 4th of July, went to a little local cover band concert, and then watched some fireworks, enjoyed the time, and, well, you know, concert started around 7, missed the Guardians, played, went and watched the condensed game on the MLB app. Then Saturday rolls around, so I go over to a friend's house with my girlfriend. We spend most of the day there, a pool, playing games, having fun. Also miss the Guardians game and then watch the condensed game on the MLB app. It's like, oh, this is shaping up to be a good weekend. I've spent a total of 15 to 16 minutes watching the Guardians be just hapless on offense and pathetic. It's a good amount of time to spend doing it. Hey, we get the gist. I was fine along, you know, just score watching, scoreboard watching throughout the days. But then Sunday rolls around, and I'm like, you know what? We're going to go to the game. Why not? Let's go to the game on Sunday. What could possibly go wrong? And then yesterday happens. I'm watching Bo Naylor not put his glove down. I'm watching everything under the sun potentially go wrong. And it was to the point where it's like, oh, 1-0 win. I mean, this isn't going to be a sign of anything, but it'll be nice to just put an end to the loss streak. And then they can't even find a way to do that right. Well, just giving up one hit going into the ninth inning. Well, Gavin Williams delivered you the performance of a lifetime. You managed to blow it. And, I mean, to just further on it tonight, I'm coming into the studio today looking like the Batman villain Two-Face because I'm getting burnt out beyond belief at the game. Sort of my own doing. I probably should put some sunscreen on the face. I mean, you take a look at yourself. I'm paper, okay? I'm paper. If you throw me out there at 7 o'clock, I'm catching a sunburn. Just the way that it rolls. My own doing, but position of the sun. I mean, half of my face pretty much hurts today, okay? It hurts. And it's just the added just anger from the team and having to watch what actually played out on Sunday. I mean, it was to the point. The ninth inning happened. As soon as I saw the first home run go over, I was with our good friend Anthony Allant watching the game, who you guys can hear on Wednesday alongside Nick Padone filling in for me then. But I was like, I'm going to go stand in the shade, okay? I'm going to watch the game from back here because this one's toast. I don't need to see anything else. This game is done and dusted. And surely enough, you know, they proceeded to give up 6 total runs in the 10th. Cade Smith did not look good, did not look like he had it. But I mean, at one point, like, again, you thought you were going to win that. You were a strike away from winning a game yesterday. And again, it wasn't an inspiring game. It's not like, oh, wow, they looked really good today. It was like they survived a Sunday getaway day where they ended their lineup with the likes of Jonathan Rodriguez. Who else is there? Brian Rocchio was in the ninth spot. Austin Hedges and Will Wilson. Those are your final 4 hitters in the lineup. You walk away winning a game like that. take that one every single day. Against Scooble, nonetheless. You would have taken that and you would have ran to the hills with it. You'd been like, finally, finally back on the board in the win column. We're perfectly fine. No, you find a way to blow it, you lose 10 straight. And what really bothers me at this point, because again, I told you, we've pretty much reached apathy at this point. Like, there's not much that gets me super riled up about this team. Like, watching the offense be pathetic day in and day out, it doesn't really boil my blood at this point, because I'm like, I expect you to be. I know you're not making changes. When you call up Will Wilson, for crying out loud, when I watch an outfielder go down and you call up a middle infielder / third baseman who has been an absolute atrocity at the major league so far this year, yeah, I know where you stand. Right, I told you the same thing with the Brian Rocchio trade. I told you when I watched Will Wilson do it, I know what you're doing. So the offense doesn't even get to me. It's more so listening to the way that we sit here and talk about the team, and not us specifically, but the team themselves. It's listening to Vogt. It's listening to Antonetti and everybody else talk as if nothing is wrong, as if there's no problem whatsoever. For instance,
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
As I said, Chris Antonetti spoke earlier on this weekend, and he was sitting there and basically like, hey, how's the temperature in the clubhouse? What does it feel like walking in there? Does it feel like a team who's on a massive losing streak and can't hit the baseball?
I think, again, we show up every day preparing and to try to win that game, and I know that's the focus. Obviously, the outcomes haven't gone our way recently, but if you're around the group and the team, you wouldn't feel that. You know, from Voter to our coaches to our players, everyone's showing up every day with a great mindset, putting in the work. It's just things haven't gone our way yet. I'm confident in the game, the baseball that's left in front of us, and, you know, we'll certainly play better than we have so far over the last month.
Well, is playing better than you have over the last month is basically coming close to winning like 6 games in the month of July. Congratulations. I need you to win for a week out of the 4 that you're presented. I would hope so. I mean, for the love of God, I would hope so. But you just say it like it's rosy, and it's like, it's just one of those rough stretches that teams go through. No. I haven't watched the Dodgers. I haven't watched, the New York Yankees just went through a massive one. But, like, even teams like the Rays and the Blue Jays, right? You don't even have to look to these massive markets, because the Dodgers are just so ridiculously built that if they don't win a World Series this year, it's a complete failure. But, I mean, I'm looking at it as like, all right, well, I can look at the Blue Jays as like not this team that spends, or at least spends properly to maintain their position. They're not going through massive struggles, and they have players going through problems. I'm looking at the Rays. I mean, they're basically copy and paste of what you are, and they're hanging just fine in the AL. Meanwhile, you are a sunken ship that you could have seen coming from a mile away. But you just sit around and act like, oh, no, it's going to get better. This is just a rough stretch. Like, it's to the point where, if you're a Guardians fan, you should feel insulted by the way that they talk about this team and the way that they frame things. Like, I walk around insulted every single time I hear Stephen Vogt talk or I hear Chris Antonetti talk, and they tell me, oh, this team's playing well, or, you know what, this is just sort of the rough patch as you go when you have young guys on the roster. No, you decided to take this route, and you're also just not really taking a proper route in general. Like, we've talked about it. The idea that Carlos Santana, a 39-year-old, is here blocking Kyle Manzardo, who now just walked away for a family medical emergency. Don't worry, though. Don't worry. You guys lost the first baseman. We got John Kenzie Noel coming back, coming straight to you. He'll help fill in the gap. Yeah, they're statistically like the worst hitter in baseball this year. Congratulations. Thank you very much for bringing him up. But every time they talk about it, it's like, oh, the team's great. They're in a fine spot. They're going to bounce back, and they're going to be the same team they were last year. Like, they genuinely talk to you as if their fans are morons, and they can't see what's playing out right in front of their eyes. They talk about it with DeLauder. They talk about it with the way the team's built and the way that the team's playing. They act like everything's rosy, and it makes sense that they don't have their top prospects up, and the guys that they're playing are just a basically a happenstance of the situation that they've been put in. No, you've brought the situation to yourself. You brought Carlos Santana here. You're blocking the young guys from playing. If this is about getting young guys reps, you can say that, but make it follow through in your actions. And don't try to sell to me, oh, the guys are putting up good at-bats. They're doing great. No, they're not. They're statistically the worst hitting team in baseball over the last 30 days. They're abysmal. What do I have to do to get Steven Vogt to come out and go, hey, guys, we look like ass. This team sucks right now. That's the reality of it. Because guess what? Other teams in baseball do it. Go listen to the way that the Mets talk about themselves right now. They're in a massive skid. And they're like, yeah, we're very disappointed with the way that we've played as of late. We have not been good. Is that so hard to come out and say? Like, we know you're not good. You coming out and saying, hey, we're putting together good at-bats. We're going to fight right around the corner. We're going to turn this corner. We're going to be fine. You're not fooling anybody. All you're doing, again, that's what gets me riled up. That's what gets me angry. It's like, you can go out there and admit it. Even as a manager, as Vogt, yeah, you're not supposed to come out and, like, there's a push back and forth whether or not you should be the guy out there saying, hey, this team's not good, and going out and saying it publicly. Like, who was it? Was it last season? I want to say it was last year. It was earlier this year. The Diamondbacks manager came out and was like, yeah, Merrill Kelly's, like, the worst pitcher in baseball right now. And Merrill Kelly's a good pitcher. But he was just absolutely awful. It's like, Merrill knows you're not lying. He's going out there. He probably feels, however bad he actually is, when you're playing that bad, I'm sure you feel 10 times worse. You're not going out there and being like, and I put together some competitive at-bats today. Like, Jose's not walking out there during an 0-21 stretch being like, you know what? I haven't been on base, but whew, I have been fighting pitches like no other. And you know what? I've just been robbed a couple of times. That's all it is. You know, high outs in expected batting average, right? I'm Nolan Jones throughout the course of the year. Just really hard hit balls that aren't going my way. No, you don't feel that way. It's not how a baseball player feels. And for no reason should they ever feel like that. But that's the way they try to sell it to you. They genuinely talk to their fans as if they're stupid. And that's what bugs me, because I know Guardians fans are not dumb. We all see what's playing out in front of the eyes. It's like, at some point, you just want the team to be real with you and give me a direction. Where are you going? If this is about the young guys playing, well, guess what? Make it happen then. I shouldn't have to be sitting up here pounding my fist, screaming into a mic about Chase DeLauder sitting in AAA. I shouldn't have to be just absolutely bugged that I'm getting 3 off days from Kyle Manzardo on any given week. I should be seeing the young guys in action. That's what this should all be about. But instead, it's not. It's the complete opposite. And this team just tries to toe the line and act like they're good, but also playing in this safe zone. It's like, well, you know, the roster's really young, so you can't really expect too much. But then when we do go through and win, it's like, that's great. It's job preservation 101. It's like, if you don't expect too much from us, if we never tell you at any point that we're ever going for it, you're never going to expect it. And if I never make that promise, I never have to deliver on that promise. And I think that's what drives everybody crazy. You never go for it. You never risk it, which means you're never actually going to win it. The only instance we ever have of the Guardians going for broke is a decade ago. We all cling on to it. It's like, well, 2017. I mean, they went all in. Yeah, guys, that was 9 years ago. Congratulations. Like, we are entering almost a 9-year period from when they did that. It was the offseason going into 2017. And it didn't pan out well for him. But you know what? Everybody looks around and you're like, that was the time that they went for it. Because they never do. There's never an instance coming off an ALCS. They didn't double down. They didn't go for it again. And I understand, like, the financial side of it, and that this team probably overperformed last year and you couldn't promise anything next year. But you could have at least gone for broke. Now you're looking at it. Yeah, guess who hasn't signed the extension? Steven Kwan. Yeah, you want to make a wonder as to why? Because I can take a pretty good guess. Again, if you're not offended by the way that the Guardians talk about this team, you probably should be. 216-474-0092. For you, what's the most frustrating thing about this team in the Guardians right now? You can also get to me on X, at Vulnik Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking Guardians here in this opening hour. A lot to get off the chest, and they first pitch right around 8 o'clock tonight against the Astros. So I want to talk about them plenty. We'll get to the station buzz coming your way at 8. Get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume later on in the show in the 10 o'clock hour for you got to pick one. But right now, 216-474-0092. What is the most frustrating thing with the Guardians for you right now? We're going to get to your calls and more on this coming back in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Vulnik with you guys until 11 right here on The Fan. Jake Vulnik with the guys here asking you at 216-474-0092. What's been the most frustrating part for you so far with the Guardians? Because, again, like I brought it up last segment, like if you're not offended right now and insulted by the way that the Guardians actually speak to their fans and talk about this team as if everything is dandy and everything is going well, I really don't know what to tell you. Like, you should be insulted. You should feel offended that they just walk through and they're like, you know, there's just a lot of things to get to. And, you know, just doesn't always work out. Doesn't always play into our favor. Because, I mean, we listened to Chris Antonetti in last segment and basically detail, hey, you know, we're going to be a lot better than we were last month. And this team comes in with the right attitude every day. Well, I'm pretty sure when you start calling players meetings, you could probably make the argument that you're not coming in with a great attitude every day. Okay. The only reason that you're calling a player meeting is somebody's attitude isn't right. Guys are blaming the wrong people. They're too hard on themselves. Something is clearly not right there that a veteran has to step in and be like, you know what? We need to talk. We need to hash this out and get everything off of our chest at this point and just restart from square one and try to get on a level head. I wouldn't say that the attitude's that great. Hey, you're probably not in a good spot, and rightfully so. Like, you're losing games, you're not hitting the baseball. I would expect you to come in not being like, oh, whew, let's cut it right here at 10 today, guys. I'm feeling good about today. Like, no, you're probably like, good Lord, can we hit the baseball today? Can we just get this, just one, just get us over the hump? Yeah, that's probably, I'm not going to say it's the right mentality, but it's a proper mentality. But they just act like this stretch is just something that happens and it blindsides them. They don't know where it came from. And I thought Anthony Castrovince was on earlier today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And he pretty much detailed as to, hey, it's not like this just blindsided them. We all saw this coming.
When it goes this bad, there's a lot of reasons it goes this bad. And you can go all the way to the top, you know, with the lack of investment in a team that shockingly made the ALCS last year. But then I think the front office made it even harder on themselves with their approach to the offseason. Then you get into the weeds of just development. You know, they're continuing struggle to develop hitters at the major league level and coming up into the system to be able to contribute at the major league level. You know, there's a lot of people involved in that, obviously, and the players themselves. You know, there's guys who've underperformed as well. So this losing streak is really, you could kind of see it coming in that where the run differential was, you know, a couple weeks ago, they had kind of played above their level in terms of what they were doing offensively. They had more wins than you would expect given the offensive contributions or lack thereof. But now it's all kind of caught up with them, and it's really a tough watch when that happens.
I mean, guys, we've been talking about this for like 6 weeks. It's like, I don't know how they're treading water, but they're treading water. They're sitting above 500. They're finding a way to do it when every single offensive metric would be like, this team can't sustain this. They're absolutely abysmal. The run differential, this should be a team that's well below 500, yet they're just sitting at 500 or slightly above. And it finally, as Anthony put out, it caught up to them. And that's where you stand. And again, it's the way that they continuously over and over again talk about it. And it's not just the way that the team plays. I actually want to play something else from Antonetti as well, because it's the entire DeLauder situation. It's the way that he talks about the prospects as if, oh, well, you know, there's just not much we can do.
It's the same two things that we always talk about. It's at the individual level. How prepared is that individual to contribute at the major league level? And then what is the opportunity at the major league level, and who else might that affect? And those are the two considerations that we're always weighing when we make those determinations.
He talks like this team is on the top of the moon.
Who cares who it affects? You were watching this guy in AAA just rake and Nobody up here can hit. It's mind-boggling.
Like, okay, so this is the point. Like, if Nolan Jones is hitting 275 with 15 bombs right now, I'd be like, you know what? It's really difficult of a choice to be like, I mean, DeLauder's ready, but can we really find the at-bats for him? Because we got to play Nolan. He's red hot. Your right field has been a black hole. What do you need? Like, what on earth? Who is he blocking? He's blocking Lane Thomas, who just found the IL for a third time this year because he's dealing with plantar fasciitis again. Another flare-up. And it's like, okay, so he's blocking Nolan Jones, Jonathan Rodriguez, and now, thank the Lord, John Kenzie Noel is back. Those are the guys who they're affecting. Like, okay, so a guy that you traded Tyler Freeman for, who was an absolute lottery ticket, and it was with a team that's rebuilding, is like, throw a dart at it. Hopefully it works. You know, he was good two seasons ago. That's what a rebuilding team does. They start taking shots on young players. So you're affecting him in the at-bats that he's getting. Okay, quite frankly, I don't care. You're affecting the at-bats on Mackenzie Noel is getting or Jonathan Rodriguez is getting. Thank the Lord. Please take the at-bats. There should be all of the opportunity under the sun to hand to Chase DeLauder. You know, we want him to ramp up and the body to feel good for him to play 4 to 5 times a week. Guess what? If he's playing 4 times a week right now, sounds like I still got 3 days of work for Nolan Jones, which is basically what he's doing anyway. If I only get him to play 3 to 4 days a week, you're just cutting out the garbage. That's all it is. All you're doing is cutting out the useless part of your lineup. Jonathan Rodriguez, over the course of June, by the way, I think since he's been called up, has like the worst OPS among qualified hitters in Major League Baseball. It's like a 290 something. OPS, like average in Major League Baseball, is like 700, guys. I mean, that is just atrociously low. And you're just letting him up there free swing day after day. I mean, I'm pretty sure he led like AAA last year, the International League at least, in ground ball double plays. All he does is strike out and hit into double plays at the major league level, and then he steps down and faces AAA pitching, and he looks like the next coming of Barry Bonds. I mean, all of a sudden, the power is just awoken, but we've been proven across several instances that Jonathan Rodriguez doesn't work. And listen, I get it. I'm screaming into like a vacuum right now. Everybody's like, yeah, of course, we all know Jonathan Rodriguez doesn't work. But like Antonetti's sitting up there and telling you, well, you know, you just got to make sure the opportunity's there, is what I'm talking about when he treats you as if you're dumb. They treat the fans as if they have no clue what's happening.
I feel like I'm on like mushrooms. Like,
you're going through a trip. I mean, like, it's to the point where I listen to it. I'm like, this can't be real. They talk about this team like they were performing when they're on the hot stretch to start the year last year. It's like, yeah, that's when you questioned, can I really call guys up right now? Like, sure, Rocchio's hitting, you know, 205, but he's been stellar at defense, and this team's working, and he's basically a black hole at the nine spot. But, hey, I mean, if the team's winning and working around it, yeah, I don't know if I want to switch things up right now. Like, that's when you have these conversations. Not on a 10-game losing streak. Not when you were the worst baseball team in all of June. But they continue to sell it as if this is the same team year in and year out. Like, no, you're significantly worse than you were last year. Can we please start acting like it or acting like a team who doesn't want to be there? You can pick one. I don't care which route you go, by the way. If you want to be the team that leans into the younger guys, you're like, you know what? We're just start going to give guys chances. Hey, this team's probably not going to be all that great this year. We're just going to give the young guys chances. I'm not going to be happy, but I'll get it. Or if you want to say, you know what? We're going to double down. This offense sucks. The starting pitching looks okay. We're going to actually start to go a little bit further in, maybe give some of the younger guys chances, but also go get you some help coming up at the deadline. You can do that too, but you got to pick one. You can't sell to me, it's a young team who doesn't hit, but also, hey guys, we're going to get better. That's not how that works. You're either a young team that can't hit, or you're going to get better. You can't just be the team that you were last year. You're not the team that you were last year.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And it drives me nuts day in and day out that they continue to sell it that way.
I don't know how after that game yesterday, you don't have a more significant move than bringing up Jonkenzie Noel because Kyle Manzardo's personal issue. Like, that was... I was speechless watching the game. It was disgusting.
And, like, don't get me wrong. So you called Will Wilson yesterday, which is a non-competitive
Nothing.
Move.
You're calling me up. Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't going to call up Chase DeLauder there, and all, like, in all honesty.
No, but I'm saying after that game yesterday, like...
Yes, this is where you can make a move.
You have to do something other than bring up Jonkenzie Noel, who we have already seen multiple games this year, not the same guy.
Yeah, and you know they're not going to call him up at this point because they're on the road facing off against Houston, and he played yesterday for Columbus. He was in the lineup, so they're not calling him up. He's not like he's on his way right now, and it's going to be some surprise move that they added. Why they added Jonkenzie Noel. They're not going to add him in Houston. They go to Chicago. They're probably not going to add him while they're on the road either. You like more than often add your guy while he's sitting at your own ballpark. It's like, oh, drive on up from Columbus. You know, nice little short 2.5 hour drive and you're right here, much closer than a lot of places have the luxury to do. But they're not going to do that. They're still playing this game as if, oh, well, he's got to be major league ready. I don't know what more you need to see.
He's more major league ready than half the people hitting in the lineup right now.
Or at the very least, the equivalent of them, right?
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing that happens is you trade out Chase DeLauder for Jonathan Rodriguez. Chase DeLauder sucks. Congratulations. I traded one for one. Right? But at least I have a new name. I have a little bit of hope and a guy that could potentially work out instead of staring at Jonathan Rodriguez knowing that he's not going to. Like, I don't expect anything out of J-Rod. Like, and again, Steven Vogt sitting there cooking with nothing. Like, you handed him water and salt and told him to make pasta. Can't do it. I mean, you can't make a 5-course meal when all you're getting handed is, Kraft mac and cheese. Doesn't happen. I just, it's the constant over-explaining and just acting like nothing's wrong. No, please show me some urgency. Show me a little bit of life from anywhere on the team, whether it's Vogt, Antonetti, anybody. Show me that you're dissatisfied with what you have right now. They just act like this is a status quo, and you know what? This is what's going to happen, and we're just living through it. 216-474-0092. What's been the most frustrating part about this team right now for you watching the Guardians? Jeff is in Lakewood. What's going on, Jeff?
Quite disappointed in the ownership philosophy. Basically, they do not, they got rid of Jimenez because his contract gave him an extra $5 million. And they knew that when they traded for him. Instead of, paying that money, you basically got not much for a guy who is the best second baseman in the American League. And what's frustrating is I go back to 2021 when the trade deadline happened. They traded away Henry Ramirez, who was a 300 hitter. He only made $8 million a year, but they traded him to the Chicago Cubs for cash. And what they did is they brought up Nolan Jones, Will Benson, and Oscar Gonzalez. And there was a logjam, and none of them were proven. But it ended up they lost all three of them. And they got Nolan Jones back after he hit in Colorado. Everybody yep. hits in Colorado.
Correct.
But basically, you gave up on a guy who's a 300 hitter, a proven player, for cash. And that's your whole philosophy. You just don't want to pay anybody.
Yeah, and honestly, Jeff, like, hey, at some point when they spend, I appreciate the call, like, I know this team's not going to spend year in and year out, and it doesn't change with the Dolans. And not to say that's, like, okay, and I'm just allowing that, but, like, I expect it. But it's where they do spend, right? Like, to your point with Jimenez, and you can definitely group Josh into that. And, like, I was not angry with any of those moves. Hey, both of them I was perfectly okay with, knowing that you weren't getting anything out of Josh, knowing that when you looked at Jimenez, that contract, while, yeah, next year it was another five, it quickly trickled into being more and more and more to the point he was going to be making as much as, like, Ronald Acuna. That's a problem. But it's the fact that they kind of did go out and spend. Like, they re-spent the money from Jimenez and Naylor, but they just subtracted from the offense and were like, well, hopefully it's as good as it was last year. They just didn't add to it. They knew they were a problem on the team already, a bad offense they made worse and just didn't care. And then again, are acting like they're blindsided when the struggles come and smack them in the face. No, you shouldn't be blindsided. You did this to yourselves and you waited for it. And then you went and got Carlos Santana, a 39-year-old first baseman, to block Manzardo, and you went and assigned two relievers that would have been the equivalency of Matthew Boyd, who is sitting here, in terms of contract, and you've gotten nothing out of them. Junis has been a shell, and Seawald has barely pitched, and when he has, although good 2 days ago, he has like a 7 ERA. Nobody's been good. You just continuously spend on players who aren't good when you could just re-sign the players in front of you. Again, 216-474-0092. At some point, Guardians fans are going to check out, and from what I'm hearing, it feels like they already are. At what point, or have you already checked out from the Guardians, and does it stop it this year? Again, 216-474-0092. We'll talk about it coming back here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Coming your way in about 17 minutes, we're going to get to the station buzz, but we're talking Guardians right now, 216-474-0092. You can tell me what the most frustrating part is. I also want to get into whether or not you've sort of checked out from the Guardians, because honestly, like, I've seen on social media and a few other places, people basically just talking about, like, hey, I'm not going through and doing this whole season ticket thing over again. I'm canceling, you know, if you're doing the standing room only passes right now. I know people that are canceling that because, like, this team isn't even worth the money to go and watch right now. Like, a lot of people essentially bought the idea, and I think this is what a big selling point of it is, is that I bought the idea that, hey, this team's going to be good. I'm going to have, even in the standing room, I sort of dibs on the idea that, all right, well, you can kind of get to playoff tickets. You can get to other things. And I was actually listening to Locked On Guardians earlier. We've had Justin Lott on. He does that, does good work over there. And they talked about the idea of, hey, like, they know fans that are canceling season tickets right now. And it's because right now, the team's not very good, and they're also not providing very much to their fans outside of that. Like, you talk about, you know, Guards Fest went through. They canceled that, essentially, and what, you get it every 3 years now? That doesn't do anything for anybody. I don't think any fan wanted that. I think that was one of the more enjoyable things. But right now, your idea is the only thing they offer is, hey, next year's season tickets, you get first dibs, and if there's playoff tickets, you get first dibs on those. Well, you're not going to be making the playoffs this year, more likely than not. So that doesn't provide you any benefit. And I don't know that a lot of people want season tickets to watch this team next year. Like, people have checked out from this team already for a team that's only a few games under 500 because of what they showed you and their trajectory is going to be. Like, even if the Guardians get better, which, by the way, I do expect them to get marginally better. Like, they're not going to stay as a team that can't score a run.
I mean, you'd hope so, because they're playing like a AAA team right now. It's got to be better. They got to get better than this.
Right, like, they're bad, but they're not quite this bad. Like, you still put this lineup on paper, even as god-awful as it is. It's better than, like, a White Sox roster. Okay, like, their lineup day in and day out. While it's bad, it's not White Sox bad. It's not Colorado Rockies bad. But it's not good. Like, they're going to get closer to a 500 to sub-500 baseball team. That's just not appealing to people, especially when the team isn't even bringing up the faces. Like, hey, if you want to put people out in the stands, you're going to need the Chase DeLauders of the world that people actually want to go see. Like, that brings some interest into them. One of the best signs that I saw yesterday at the game was just a picture of Chase DeLauder behind jail bars. And it said, like, currently detained in Franklin County Jail at the moment, or wanted or lost, something along those lines in the Franklin County Jail. I was like, yeah, that's basically what we're doing right now. DeLauder's told you he's ready to come up. You've seen his play on the field. Looks like he's ready enough to come up, especially for a guy that was drafted 2 years ago. It doesn't make sense what they're waiting on. And if you've checked out at this point, It's hard to even blame anybody for not really being invested in this team because they just haven't given you a reason to, both on and off the field. They've cut away a lot of the reasons to be invested right now. Again, 216-474-0092. Jerry's in Kent. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, I'm really tremendously frustrated and angry at this whole Guardian situation. And people are right that they want to run on their season tickets. I don't blame them. You had Antonetti on this morning talking out of both sides of his mouth, as usual. And he doesn't have any answers. You know, the guy is nothing but a puppet for Paul Dolan. Paul Dolan's the real culprit here. Okay? Cheapskate Paul. Yeah. He's more interested in putting bars and selling high-priced drinks to the fans. And some of the drinks they make, they don't know how to make them. Like, I ordered a Manhattan there one time. It tasted like cherry cola.
Well, that's that's not a good spot at all.
They're more interested in putting beer gardens in than spending the money. And let's face it, no criticizing for Vogt, the manager. He's an inexperienced manager. He went to the ALCS on Francona's team. And Dolan, the cheapskate, was too – are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you, Jerry.
Dolan, the cheapskate Dolan, was too cheap to pay Francona what he wanted, and that's why he's in Cincinnati. Right. And they went to the ALCS on Francona's team.
Hey, Jerry, I appreciate the call. I don't necessarily think it was money with Tito. I think it was a combination more of Tito not wanting to know if he wanted to still, you know, be a manager, and probably a little bit of the changing of guards at some point because, realistically, Tito's incredible. I love Tito in town, but, like, time had kind of run its course there. Like, the team was on the downslope. They needed a jolt of energy somewhere else, and Vogt brought that. And honestly, like, if we're talking about where blame goes for this team and where you sort of place it, yeah, I think most of it does sort of come down to, okay, well, the team won't spend. That's always low-hanging fruit. That's, and I repeat to you, always going to be there. Blitzer, when he takes over for the team, not changing that. He said it himself. He's not changing that. Like, the financial philosophy is not going to drastically just be like, and now the Guardians are willing to give people $100 million contracts. No, it's not going to change. But I struggle where to place the blame individually because we've talked about it, like, right? How much Vogt is to blame for this? Because I mostly, of course, put it on Antonetti and Chernoff. They don't want to make the moves. They're complacent. They're very comfortable in making sure that their job is safe and not promising too much, not going too much into one side or the other and making their job look like, oh, well, if I replace somebody else, does something change? Right? And their job is relatively safe, but it's way probably too safe on a regular basis because they don't go for anything. They don't lean into, hey, we're actually going to rebuild, and they don't lean into the fact of, hey, let's go all in this year and see if we can win something. They do neither of those two things. And that's a recipe right now that if you go through and you say, hey, if I can just get into the playoffs, if I can play slightly better than 500 and get into the playoffs, then I sell to everybody that we have a shot. Hey, maybe we'll go through and actually win something. That's the sell that they make to everybody year in and year out. But I just don't pull all the blame off of Vogt either, right? Because we talked about it, like he'll come in there and say, oh, the at-bats are great. They're hitting really well today, which I don't agree with in the slightest, and I don't think anybody else does either. And you're cooking with no ingredients right now. Like, Vogt doesn't have a lot to work with, but I actually thought Matt Derry, who was on with Ken and Anthony this morning, brought up a really good point as to why he's gotten frustrated with Vogt.
This is the first week I've been really upset with him because Friday night, Kyle Manzardo up there down one in the ninth inning, a 2-0 count. And that pitch from Will Vest is basically over the catcher's head. And Dingler framed it, brought it down a little bit. That was ball three. Instead, it was called a strike. Now, 2-1 count instead of 3-0 with Jose Ramirez in the on-deck circle is a big difference. Get out there, Steven, and argue for your guys. Immediately, you'll get tossed because you can't argue balls and strikes. But at least you're building. At least you fire up the squad. You do something. Get out of the dugout, dude. Yesterday, Kwan, first at bat against Skubal. That's ball four outside. Get out there. Vogt just sits there. You're right. He can't make Jonathan Rodriguez a big league player. He can't make Will Wilson a big league player. He can't just press a button on Bo Naylor's helmet and turn him into a 300 hitter. But what he can do is get out there and defend his guys.
So I think that's where you can place blame to Stephen Vogt, too, and have him sort of share a piece of the pie in the blame game. Because, like, I mean, when you're going on a 10-game losing streak, I mean, this team, the energy has to be as low as possibly can be. And, I mean, there's opportunities for Vogt to try to rile up your team. I mean, we've seen managers do it in baseball for a long time, even if it's a one-day just energy charge, even if it doesn't work. Like, I question why Steven's sitting there in his seat in the dugout time in and time again, just like, oh, well, there goes another game. There goes another one, right? Trying to make moves, trying to pick this apart surgically. Like, sometimes you just have to play to the human aspect of the game. Like, what was it? It was earlier on this weekend. I don't remember if it was Friday or it was Saturday, but there was the play with Bo at the plate that they went through. They challenged. It was incorrect, right? Friday's game. And they go through, and I mean, I thought the replay clear as day. I had Bo safe. Like, I thought it was as clear as could possibly be. The bang, bang play wasn't overturned. It stands. This is a moment. The same way that Matt's sitting there saying, go argue balls and strikes. You're going to get tossed. There's nothing else but show a little fight for your team. You can't argue against the replay center. They went, they looked at it, and they got it wrong. How many times have you seen other baseball managers step out and still go, that's ridiculous? How do you not get that right? How do you not see something definitive there? And just get tossed for the sake of getting tossed, going, I'm going to fight for my player because I'm staring at him safe right now. It's just another moment that Vogt allows to pass by, and it's like, rollover. Rollover. Okay. Well, not falling our way. At-bats are good today. Like, you don't think you can charge some energy? I sit here as a 23-year-old knowing that if I was playing baseball and I got watch my manager get tossed out of a game in a fit of rage, yeah, I'm going to be a little amped up. I'm going to have a little bit more of excitement. Like, players have always talked about, yeah, you want to go win the game for your manager after a game like that. And Vogt does none of it. There's just not enough emotion there. There's nothing. It's a giant share of the pie. Everybody is to blame at this point. Again, you can place that blame much heavier, I think, on Chernoff, Antonetti, Dolan, wherever you want to place it. But Vogt's not void of it. They want to go through and act like nothing's wrong. And that's not going to fly for me. Like, you continue saying that, that's where I check out, and I think that's where a lot of fans check out, too. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back here at 8 o'clock, we're going to do the station buzz. We're here, the most pressing things said by our stations yesterday. Plenty of Guardians in there for you. Plenty of things to hit on. Guardians not too far away from first pitch over in Houston as well. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.